You have to decide how to move forward. You have to decide what game you want to play, how much responsibility you are willing to shoulder. Do you want to stay stuck in the machine? A machine that uses and abuses you? A machine that feeds itself by extracting and devouring your time, attention, and value? Or do you have the courage to take control of your wealth, health, thoughts, and speech? The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And the show is brought to you by Swan Bitcoin, the place to plug your life into a Bitcoin standard to buy your Bitcoin automatically or just on the fly. I just bought some Bitcoin on Swan just the other day on my app. And then CoinKite, the makers of the multiple hardware wallets to secure your Bitcoin keys. But obviously the Cold Card Mark IV and the Cold Card Q, they're one of the most trusted hardware makers in this space, long running and just awesome devices. You should check them out and don't forget my discount code right there in the show notes. On today's episode, we have a read coming in from Durjiji. And I just want to preface this by saying I am sorry for the F-bombs. Gigi does not curse in the article or anything, because he is a professional, but it is very hard to do a guy's take on the issue of free speech without getting very passionately involved in the argument and, unfortunately, cursing a little bit. And I know some of you guys have kids who listen to this from time to time, or you listen to this with your family, like in the room, and I just want to make sure that you know there is a little bit more cursing than typical in this episode, and I was not able. If you do hear censor beeps, then it means that Whisper was able to pick them all up, and I could easily go back and actually censor them. So maybe we'll get lucky, but I'm not betting on it right now while I'm recording the intro. So that's just a little disclaimer, and with that, let's go ahead and get into the article, and we will discuss it after. And it's titled, Speaking Freely. On the Oxymoron of Free Speech Platforms by Durjiji. I was speaking to a friend recently, and the problem of free speech came up. I shouldn't call it a problem, actually, as it is the solution to a problem. The problem is a perennial one, which is another way of saying a really, really hard problem, one that we will continually face for as long as we are human. The problem is this. What is the right problem to solve? It's a problem about problems, which is, of course, a meta-problem. We are, as Homo sapiens, a thinking organism, both collectively as well as individually. Thinking is what defines us, but it isn't just thinking for thinking's sake. It is thinking to figure stuff out without having to get killed in the process all the time. A less violent form of evolution, if you will. The ancients placed a great deal of emphasis on attention. Attention is plagued by a meta-problem too, which is, of course, what to pay attention to. Answering this question requires paying attention to what you're paying attention to, which is what separates a smart person from a wise one. Which brings me to one of the things I'm currently worried about. Civilizationally speaking, we are very smart, but not very wise. We are very bad at paying attention to what we are paying attention to, at least right now. And I'm afraid that both the broken incentives that plague the internet, as well as our broken money, are to blame, at least in part. Assumptions. N equals zero. The speed of information is less than or equal to the speed of light. P does not equal NP. Life is worth living. There's no free lunch, and free speech is desirable. The Logos, N equals 1. There is a reason why the Logos is sacred. It is the same reason why the First Amendment is the first, which means primary. Free speech is not optional. It is not optional because we need to be able to speak freely so that we might have a chance to think freely. There is no proper thinking without proper speaking, just like there is no proper speaking without proper thinking. We must be allowed to say foolish things, just like we must be allowed to think foolish things. The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. George Bernard Shaw, Man and Superman. The line between genius and madman is a thin one for a reason. What is foolish and what is genius is often very hard to differentiate. That's why all progress depends on the unreasonable man. How do we have any chance to find and be able to listen to the unreasonable man if we silence him? Even worse, how do we listen to the unreasonable or genius parts of ourselves if we are afraid to speak out in public or in private? Dialogos, N equals 2. Free and unencumbered dialogue is not optional either. We need to be able to discuss things so that others might tell us where we are stupid. And we're all stupid. We might be stupid in our own peculiar ways, but nevertheless, we are all stupid. There is no such thing as an unbiased opinion, just like there is no such thing as a viewpoint without a blind spot. The best we can do is be aware of and try to counteract our biases and blind spots. But we can't do it individually. We have to do it collectively, and more importantly, in a distributed fashion. Building a Tower of Babel is a bad idea. Distributed cognition, N equals M. Public discourse is not optional either. In today's day and age, especially online, public discourse is problematic, to put it mildly. One of the problems is that we don't have any public spaces, so we are forced to use private spaces as quasi-public ones. The go-to method for saying something publicly online is to step on a platform and to say what you have to say. The problem is, of course, that it is not your platform. It is someone else's platform. That's why you can be deplatformed. The difference between all of these platforms is one of degree, not of kind. On some platforms, you might land in proverbial jail for sexual content. On other platforms, you might land in jail for political speech, not even proverbially. Give me 6 lines written by the hand of the most honest man, I would find something in them to have him hanged. Cardinal Richelieu. If someone has the power to deplatform someone else, this power will inevitably be used and abused. A large enough scandal or controversy will be found or manufactured, and poof, the quote, problematic user is gone. Unpersoned at the push of a button, no matter how powerful you are. That's why free speech platforms cannot exist. Only free speech protocols can exist. The difference is as subtle as it is important. When using a protocol, you are not a user in the traditional sense. You are a speaker. You speak the same language as other people. And if someone else can hear and understand you, there is a connection. There is no facilitator in between. The language itself is the facilitator. Languages are protocols, and protocols are languages. They don't have users. They have speakers. Language is inherently permissionless. You don't need an English account to read these sentences. In the same vein, your computer doesn't need an HTTP account to make sense of the zeros and ones that make up the bytes that in turn make up the characters of this sentence. You both speak the language, hence you can make sense of it. Languages and protocols are network phenomena. No network, no language. No peers, no protocols. That's why language, like money, is not optional in a complex society. If you mess with either, society crumbles. It's on us. N equals I. We're at a pivotal time in history. Never before was our civilization this connected, this global, and this unaware of its limitations and ignorance. My hope is that sound money and free speech will revivify what made our society great in the first place. Cooperation and distributed cognition are what allowed us to leave the chaos of the jungle behind. It is what allowed us to move from an eye for an eye to seeing clearly, at least some of the time. It is what allowed us to move from scarcity to abundance. It is what allows us to move towards the true, the good, and the beautiful. It allows us to aspire, onward and upward. The kairos of our time is a personal one. Maybe all kairotic moments are. You have to decide how to move forward. You have to decide what game you want to play, how much responsibility you are willing to shoulder. Do you want to stay stuck in the machine, a machine that uses and abuses you, a machine that feeds itself by extracting and devouring your time, attention, and value? Or do you have the courage to take control of your wealth, help, thoughts, and speech? Nobody can make this decision for you. It starts and ends with you. The show is brought to you by the Cold Card Hardware Wallet. This is how you own your Bitcoin truly, completely, and safely. This is not an easy thing to do in an internet filled with security holes, backdoors, and CPU chips, unintentional bugs that can extract keys from a running device or piece of software, all of the security issues and unknowns of our digital life. The best way to protect yourself is to get a hardware wallet like the Mark IV or the Cold Card Q as well, the new device that is just released that removes your keys from these devices and validates all information locally on a device built to be as tightly controlled and secured as it can be. And they have been building devices exactly like this in the tumultuous, crazy, and psychotic environment of Bitcoin for over a decade. They've got open firmware with tons of awesome features, especially for the cypherpunk who really loves to do multi-sig and like really get into the advanced stuff. And then just the simple, rock-hard security cold storage of just having a signing device. You don't want any of the complexity. You don't want any of the confusion. You don't want to worry about all these, you know, extra features. CoinKite has the device for you. Personally, I'm a huge fan of the Cold Card Hardware Wallet and the Tap Signer, but check out the OpenDime, check out the Sats Card, check out all the fascinating devices and Bitcoin hardware and just fun stuff like the Block Clock at the link available in the show notes. And don't forget the discount code Bitcoin Audible that is also listed right there so that you don't forget it. Check them out. All right. So this is a, especially with the discussions and recent pieces on censorship that we've talked about, the incredible recent rise in censorship on all sorts of platforms on the internet itself. There is a bill called COSA right now that I just heard about. And well, I guess I haven't even validated or confirmed, but it was a video of a dude on Noster just recently, or this morning, I mean, recently, that was talking about a COSA bill that 40 senators, left and right, have sponsored that would literally require you to upload, to take a picture of and upload your driver's license in order to use the internet, in order to go to certain platforms, in order to access, quote, unsafe information. And honestly, I hope that we are not that stupid, but I certainly do not have any faith that we are not that stupid as a population. But I think there's a lot of really important framing that I think Dergigi does a really good job of laying out in this piece, and that I want to kind of go one step further in framing why free speech is non-negotiable. Now, one of the things that I really like that he pointed out here is this. I'll reread this paragraph here. It says, the problem is this. What is the right problem to solve? It's a problem about problems, which is, of course, a meta problem. We are, as Homo sapiens, a thinking organism, both collectively as well as individually. Thinking is what defines us. But it isn't just thinking for thinking's sake. It's thinking to figure stuff out without having to get killed in the process all the time. A less violent form of evolution, if you will. And I thought this brings up two really, really great points. The first is that the problem that free speech is trying to solve is the problem of figuring out what problems to care about. And if you cannot have an open discussion, especially in the psychotic notion of censorship and quote-unquote malinformation that has been spread through the media, that has been spread to the political systems and sponsored essentially by the major social media and centralized platforms that we use, is such that you literally have to believe the same context, that you have to have the same narrative informing your facts as they do. It is legitimately the notion that you cannot care about and you cannot frame the facts or the truth as you see them in your way. It must be framed in the way that they believe it should be framed, which is a statement, which is a demand that you must care about it from the same perspective and through the same lens that they do, which, flatly put, is just tyranny. There's no middle ground. Freedom of speech is non-negotiable. It's not an argument. There's no wiggle room. There's no such thing as hate speech. There isn't. I don't care what you think. Hate speech is just speech that you are uncomfortable with. That is all it is. It is not illegal, and it does not give you the right to hurt them, to put a gun to their head. I'm sorry. People are racist. People have been racist and mean, and they've said mean things to people since the beginning of time. That was never the problem. The problem with the KKK wasn't that they were mean. The problem was that they killed people. And if anybody with even a slight amount of personal honesty, honesty to yourself, just think, don't respond to me. Don't go looking it up on Twitter. Just ask you yourself right now, the problem with the idea of hate speech being outlawed is the fact that nobody cares about the absolute avalanche of hate speech against straight white males, but everybody cares about quote-unquote hate speech that isn't even hate speech, just twisting any dumb thing out of context to be hate speech against any other race or gender or sexuality or whatever stupid thing is the most important thing to be concerned about today. There is far more aggressive and blatant, like very, very direct hate speech against white people. It's popular. It's literally popular. You can watch The View, and it probably doesn't take very long for you to hear some comment about how white people suck. Understand that if you start engaging in the hate speech is illegal, you'll think that it's going to go your way. But I promise you, it never will. The thing that you think is hate speech, like legitimately for the people who actually think, okay, what is truly hateful and what is truly evil and what is truly bad that we should quote unquote stop because it's really hateful speech, that will never be the target of this sort of power. Ever. You want to know why? Because nobody in political systems gives a shit about whether we are violent towards each other or whether we are hateful toward each other. They will be like a kid in a candy store at the fact that they can now censor the wrong political opinions, that they can now prosecute platforms for allowing discussion that is not in the proper narrative. As we covered on this show, the very origins of the whole you're not allowed to yell fire in a crowded theater was to excuse censorship, political, explicit political censorship back in the 30s. It was never even a case that made any context. It was always a fake hypothetical that came from nowhere to justify political censorship. Guess what we don't have a problem with? A bunch of people running into a theater, yelling fire, and then people trampling over each other and dying. I don't think anybody died from that this year or last year or the year before. Probably not for 100 years, maybe never. We don't even know. Probably getting struck by lightning is a bigger risk factor. And the fact that that stupid hypothetical was only even ever used to justify political censorship should give you every bit of context that makes it clear political censorship is the only thing that will happen. They don't have time or give a crap to go and actually prosecute everybody who could have possibly been considered a perpetrator of hate speech. They don't care about any of it. This is about power. It is and always will be. And this is why, as Durjiji eloquently put, the First Amendment is the First Amendment. There is no ambiguity. There are no gray areas. Speech isn't violence. And the second you make a law about censorship, that you allow the narrative and the conversation to be controlled, you allow the very notion that the political system can decide what is right and what is acceptable for an entire population of people to even hear as a perspective, that there is this note card, there is this tiny stream of allowable opinion and allowable perspectives that you are allowed to have about the world. Is the notion explicitly that it is okay to commit direct violence against people for having the wrong opinion? Every law that is enacted is backed by violence. All of it. That is what makes the law the law. So the very notion of hate speech is to say that because I have said something bad about somebody else, that a gun is actually less violence than the words in which I insulted somebody. Because it is to justify direct and explicit violence for this type of speech that we claim is sort of violence. And here's the other thing. Here's where I want to go a little bit deeper, is that this isn't a discussion. That despite the fact that I'm making an argument here, Durjiji is making an argument, I think one of the most important things to understand is that we do not have to argue with someone who is saying you do not have free speech, that you should be allowed to be censored. And there's two reasons. One is because to suggest that the law should be able to force what someone is able to hear means that whatever level of uncomfort or discomfort that they feel with your opinion or what you think or your perspective, that they value your life less than their discomfort. It is a notion that you are less than human, that you do not belong, you cannot own your mind, you cannot own your thoughts, you cannot own your conversations, you cannot own who you associate with and how you associate with them. If we lose free speech and the very notion to intrude upon the free speech of each individual is to suggest that everyone is just a slave, everyone is just the product of their range of comfort, that their discomfort should guide and control everything about your life, your mind, your thoughts, your words, and all of the conversations that you can have with somebody else. So what is the freedom of association if you don't have the freedom to speak with that associate? It's nonsense. It makes nothing. It's like saying you have the freedom to love whoever you want, but the government is going to tell you who to marry and who you have to live your life with and have kids with. It's like, okay, well, thanks. So think about that justification too, or excuse me, that juxtaposition, is understanding that the very notion of having the argument about free speech is the notion of arguing that you shouldn't own yourself, you should not have your own thoughts, and you should not be able to have a perspective that is different from mine, which means the very nature of having the argument is actually lending them credibility that there's a discussion here, when it's not true. What they are claiming and what they are arguing is, at the end of the day, if you and I disagree on this free speech issue, I'm still just going to put a gun to your head, or I'm going to hire a mercenary or a guy in a costume to do it for me, and I'm either going to have you beaten or caged for not complying to my worldview, or I'm going to do this to everyone around you and all of the platforms that you use and all of your friends and all of your communication channels so that I can shape the world by beating and committing violence against all of the people that make up your world. That isn't a discussion. That isn't an argument. That's them saying, I'm going to put a gun to your head at the end of this conversation, but I want you to lend me credibility by arguing with me to pretend that this is somehow a legitimate conversation, that this is somehow legitimate discourse about this important issue. By arguing with them, you give them the perception that there's something honest happening when there isn't. It's just a threat, backed by the implicit statement that you don't own yourself, that you are less than human, that you are a piece of shit who should bow and have your world shaped and controlled by their level of comfort. Don't put up with it. Don't argue with it. Tell them to off. The person who has the conversation, who believes that you should be censored for what you think or what you say, has already decided that your life isn't worth it. They have accepted as a premise of the conversation that you should be killed for thinking the wrong thing. And just the very notion of that conversation is going to result in a whole lot of really negative opinions about that person. In fact, I'm going to say a whole lot of things that'll probably sound like hate speech to that person, because that's what I think about arrogant, psychotic tyrants. And when the very premise of that conversation strips me of my life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, the very notion that I control anything about me, about how I think, about what I do, about who I associate with, and the conversations and issues and the problems that I seek to solve or that I care about, that none of that should belong to me? Sorry, but I'm not going to have much respect in return. Why would I show you any respect whatsoever? Why would I even give you the time of the day to have a conversation about this when you are such a low and shitty person that you think me a slave before we began the conversation? Whew. I'm not gonna have anything good to say about that person. There's also this just profound level of arrogance about, now we know everything, and the perspective that I have and the narrative we're telling today and in this very moment must necessarily be the truth, must necessarily be wholly and completely accurate, because if you look back in history, everybody was wrong, and we know that they're wrong now, therefore I'm right. And failing the profound arrogance in failing to recognize that that means that we're wrong now. That we're wrong about everything, because we've been permanently wrong throughout all of history. We are stupid monkeys. We are all of us stupid monkeys, beating our heads together, screaming at each other, arguing, and trying desperately through all of it to find one tiny thread of signal. But 99% of it is noise. The beautiful thing is, if we allow ourselves to associate and we allow ourselves to be responsible for our own actions and responsible for our own tiny little corners of the world and interact with each other freely, that the thread of the signal actually goes through. It actually starts to move through, and we mimic the things that actually align with the truth, that actually align with the world. But it is through that chaotic element, the notion of free speech, the notion of actually having these conversations, of actually arguing with each other and trying to figure things out and being open, being allowed to actually hate or despise or have the wrong perspective about something, is critical to actually being able to see what the right perspective is. It's literally the foundation of society. It's the foundation of everything, of even attempting to the process of working things out. It's the equivalent of saying that, oh, we should all do science, but you're not allowed to do the wrong experiment, when the very mechanism of science is such that we do the wrong experiment over and over again, and we keep changing it and thinking we know what the right experiment is until we actually come to some sort of conclusion, until we actually produce the right result. And so many times we can actually produce the right result and understand it for the wrong reason. We still call it the wrong thing, or we have the wrong picture about it. And it's not until the whole next era of technology and the whole next era of understanding and building on top of this that we start to see the nuance. We start to get the finer details, and then we realize that our entire picture was wrong. It was just like sort of right in this direction that actually allowed us to do the experiment properly. And then the entire theory changes and flips on its head. The notion of free speech is the ability to experiment on values, on ideas, on the problems, on discussing and understanding and valuing the actual problems that we want to solve, and to disagree on which problems are the big problems, which problems are the things that you actually care about versus the things that I care about. Society is the result of that process. If you shut down the process, you shut down society. It cannot operate. The very thing that leads us to better is destroyed. It's choked. It's got a gun to its head. And it means that society will rot and decay until it breaks apart and we have nothing and we just hate each other and we want to kill each other and we show each other no disrespect. We treat each other as all less than human. And what do you know? It produces horrible results. It produces incredible amounts of violence. And it usually ends in some form of a thing called massacre. Freedom of speech is non-negotiable because we want to live in a society. Society is the result of the process of arguing and the clashing of ideas and values so that we can figure out what works and what makes life better. If you destroy that because you think some perspective is dangerous or malinformation, what you actually do is lose the comparison. You lose the yin to the yang to actually prove that what you think is right is actually right. So to the contrary of moving us forward, because you cannot build things by destroying the things that you hate, that censorship actually does two things. First, it takes away the opposing worldview that allows us to even see what the consequences of each would be. And then second, it actually lifts that other worldview. It lifts the quote-unquote malinformation up on a pedestal, and it makes the people that we treated as less than human, as our slaves who should just be subject to our perspective and our values of the world, they rightfully would hate us so dearly that they would embrace the malinformation, they would embrace the alternative perspective, even if it produced bad results, just out of spite. And honestly, I couldn't blame them. Who could possibly blame them when they are treated as less than human, that they don't have control over the words that come out of their own mouth? How could anyone be so stupid and arrogant as to think that that's going to produce more love and happiness in the world? And it's coming from every direction, too. They're going to figure out how to twist it into every single little thing. Like the idea of being misgendered. Like, again, I just do not give a shit what you think about the transgender stuff. I don't care. People should be treated as people. That 100%. If transgender, okay, cool. I interact with transgender people all the time. It's like every coffee shop is just stocked with transgender employees lately. I don't care. I've never been rude to anybody. You want me to call you Nancy? Okay, I don't know what your real name was. I don't know what your dude name was, so I'm going to call you Nancy. Fine, I don't care. But the idea that someone should say some particular pronoun, or that someone must gender them properly, or it's hate speech, which that's just profoundly ridiculous, just on its face. But think about it. You don't use pronouns when you talk to somebody. You use it in third person. You use it when you're talking about someone. The suggestion that I have to use, or that somebody else has to use some particular pronoun to describe someone or to refer to someone, is the notion that their external conversations with other people must adhere to the other person's worldview. Fundamentally, it is zero difference than me saying you have to use my adjectives. That when you are away talking to somebody else, that you must say, Guy, the smart and handsome individual that I know. You are not allowed to have an alternative perspective. You are not allowed to refer me in any other context. In the third person, in someone else's conversation, you have to refer to me with this. For any of the people, any of the transgender people out there who are quiet on this issue, you need to speak out against it. You need to speak out against it. Because this is going to make people hate the name, the idea of transgender people, and is going to make them think that every transgender person is a horrible psychotic tyrant, and there is no reason, people who had absolutely no reason whatsoever to hate or care about transgender anything are now going to have this deep-seated, it is because of that person that I can't speak my mind. And as laws actually get made around this, around the idea of misgendering people, this such a stupid, absurd notion, this is going to build until something really bad happens. And it will be the fault of the misgendering SS. And I know you think they're on your side because they're sharing your perspective or your opinion on this. They are not. They are cooking a recipe and they are stirring the pot and they are baking a cake that is going to be a disaster. The most important thing that we can do right now on every single issue that we have is to rally around and protect free speech. It is our best chance, far and away, of preventing all of this mess from becoming a huge violent disaster. Trying to control the current environment that we are in with censorship is like looking at a boiling pot that's just on the edge of boiling over and putting a top on it and bolting it down and wrapping it with duct tape, and the pressure will build and build and build until it literally blows a hole out the side. It will boil faster and there is no way for it to end good. You care about the safety of anything. And about the future of this country, the most important issue that we can stand on is free speech. Censorship is wrong. It's non-negotiable. There's no conversation here. Off. And this is also why getting on Noster, getting on Keet, getting on the Pear Stack, why these things are the most important things that we can do to protect this, to make a technological solution that makes their attempts to censor obsolete. We need bandwidth around their bullshit. And I still think the Pear Stack is the least talked about, least understood, most important part of this puzzle. Build with these tools. Get your friends on Noster. Get your friends on Keet. I know it's frustrating. I know everybody hates switching to a new app, but do it. It is actually important. Do not ask permission to speak your mind. The more that we can do that, that we can openly have these conversations, we can openly say what we think, the better it will be for everyone. And the more permission we are giving to other people to continue to speak their mind. Do not be afraid. Do not apologize about your perspective or your opinion. Speak your mind. And be polite, but do not compromise. Being polite actually works. Being nice about disagreeing is actually successful. And if someone else is too much of a child or too much of a mentally pathetic individual who just crumples if you don't say what they want you to say, well, let them crumple and cry and become a worthless mess in their corner, because they were never built to even deal with a strong gust of wind in this world. They have no capacity to do it if they can't handle somebody else having a different opinion or a different perspective than they do. There's nothing you can do to save that person. Just speak your mind and walk away. But do not ask permission. Do not seek their approval. Do not engage in the argument that censorship is even on the table, or that certain information should be restricted in some way that is not explicitly under your control or your choice to associate how you want to associate, because you have that freedom. That is your choice. That's your world that you are molding. The answer to any and all political control or attempt to chokehold that is no. It's just no. We're not going to. I'm not even going to entertain it. We're going to build around you anyway. No. There is no discussion between destroying society and saving society. free speech is a prerequisite to prosperous free society. End of story. So anyway, sorry for all the F-bombs. I'm not going to be able to go through and censor all these today. I'll make a disclaimer at the beginning for this one. But I feel very, very strongly about this topic, if it's not obvious. And for the exact same reason that I think the notion of controlling what you can and cannot do in a science experiment to try to determine the truth is ridiculous. It's absurd. It's the pretense of it's to suggest that we already know the conclusion of science, therefore we don't actually have to engage in science, except that it's orders of magnitude. It's infinitely worse, because instead of just talking about trying to come to some conclusion, we're trying to find some scientific piece of information about one little specific thing. We're talking about the process of life flourishing. We are talking about the fundamentals, the key principle behind self-ownership. I am against the control and censorship of speech for exactly the same reason I am an abolitionist, and I do not think we should go back to slaves and masters. And no, that's not hyperbole or an exaggeration. That is literally and exactly what it is and what we are talking about. So thank you to Dirjiji for writing this piece, just because I think this is a critically important issue. And honestly, as much that is happening is threatening this, there are very few people, there still isn't a broad conversation about it. I mean, it is happening. And shockingly, Elon Musk is probably the poster boy right now for actually, in the popular context or in the broader context, pushing back against that conversation, kind of giving permission to people. And, you know, thank God for alternative media. It's not even alternative media. Thank God for the new mainstream media, the new global media like Joe Rogan, like Russell Brand, and all of these new platforms and avenues and protocols like podcasting and open access. Like more viewers watch Tucker's show on X and on his website than watch Fox News, which is great. But I think it lends itself to understanding, to recognizing, if you look at it honestly, if you think about this from a broader perspective, how important the tools are. This is all about the tools. If it were not for podcasting, for these alternative platforms, for the ability to reach the audience directly, if we were still in the CNN, Fox, and NBC world, none of these conversations would be allowed. It is solely because we have RSS feeds, because we have the technology and the bandwidth to get the conversation around them and around these platforms. And also, I think it's critically important to understand that the only reason we have platforms that allow speech, that allow unpopular opinions and, you know, quote-unquote malinformation, basically alternative perspectives to the mainstream, I think the only reason we even have those is specifically because we have RSS, we have direct podcasts that can actually give people access to it. And so the momentum and the pressure is too great to censor completely. I actually think no matter who was, like, it requires that social permission. It requires that feedback mechanism. Like without Joe Rogan and Russell Brand and all of these people in the podcasting environment that have kind of changed the name or changed the parameters of the game and allowed people to hear these ideas, without them, we wouldn't have the momentum and the organization. We wouldn't have the social pressure necessary for Twitter to actually try to be some semblance of a free speech platform in conjunction or in partnership, so to speak, with that alternative media, with the new landscape that has birthed because of the state of because of the new technologies and new protocols that we have. I want people to understand that. I do not think Rumble or Twitter or any of the other like major platforms that have allowed this extra type of conversation, allowed the expansion, no matter how small, the expansion of the quote-unquote correct perspective or the establishment media, I think they are actually only maintained because we have a route completely around them. They are just kind of the gray area that mixes with the Joe Rogan podcast feed that can't be taken down, that can be easily migrated from host to host, that isn't closed on some platform, that if Apple takes it off, people just stop using Apple Podcasts. Nobody's like stuck, like trapped in some single podcast application. And that's why Spotify, that was trying to put up walls again around the RSS environment, is actually such a dangerous thing, even if they supposedly stand for free speech. And just so you know, when I reference Russell Brand and Joe Rogan, I'm talking about the entire ecosystem. I'm talking about this show. I'm talking about Liberty Lockdown. I'm talking about Dave Smith. I'm talking about everybody that has this, and probably a ton of you who are in this new space, this new environment, and that allow the propagation and the meshing and clashing of all of these ideas, where it is simply disallowed in the mainstream mind. And you can see it. You can see how horrifically narrow and dumb and just painfully shallow and failure to even do the slightest bit of reflection in the mainstream narrative, in the mainstream view of things. And it's only truly visible from the outside, but when you're outside looking in, you just see how unbelievably trapped, how caged everybody's opinion and perspective is. That is not a recipe for a better future. That is not a recipe for progress. That is not a recipe for flourishing. That is a recipe for hate, for violence, and for a really shitty future. And I want nothing to do with it. That is why free speech is non-negotiable. It is the one and most important thing that we can protect to not end up in that dystopia. So defend it with me without compromise. Have the uncomfortable conversation. Let it get uncomfortable. Let the other person be uncomfortable. Because every time we procrastinate on that, every time we compromise in order to keep everything nice and not challenge someone else's idea, all you do is build up the pressure so that it's going to be more uncomfortable next time. And that builds and that builds and that builds until the outcome is violence. It is fiat to think that we can settle our problems by never addressing them. So calmly, directly, and openly address them. And when someone calls you crazy or racist or hateful or whatever it is, calmly, openly, and directly, repeat your stance without wavering. And do not discount how powerful it is to simply stay on message and ignore bullshit. So anyway, we will actually end this one this time. thank you guys for listening. Another shout out to Gigi for this short article here. Do not forget to check it out. Do not forget to go to dergigi.com where this was posted. I will have the link in the show notes. And again, this show lives by word of mouth. And anytime that you can share this out or you could tell people about an episode, or, you know, introduce somebody that you know is starting to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole into the Bitcoin Basics series, all of those things are huge, huge helps to the show, as well as leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Google Play Store, whatever it is. And thank you all so, so much for those who have. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, Swan Bitcoin, and get a cold card hardware wallet. And I will catch you on the next episode. And until then, take it easy, guys. Freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. George Washington.